This is now our Independence Day. Yeah, not really. It's the news according to me. Good morning. This is the weekend of Independence Day, I guess. Monday is the actual Independence Day. For those of you who don't know, July 4th. Heard a historian did a really good job of saying there wouldn't be a Juneteenth if there hadn't been a 1776. You realize that Europe was still the United States, the North, and here in the United States, it wasn't the United States then. It was kind of divided by war, but that the whole process was spearheaded, if you want to call it that, was the leader in abolishing slavery. This country has been on the cutting edge of abolishing racial divides until now. Now racial divides are everything. The leftists who were, who supposedly flipped, they flipped. Back in the 65, they all flipped. The Democrats stopped becoming the party of racism and racial division. All of a sudden, they flipped, and now the Republicans are the right-wing racists, and white supremacists are all racist. All the Ku Klux Klan people, whatever. They can't really pinpoint the actual, policy changes. I digress. It just gets into more and more of this whole revisionist history thing, and the way they trend, but yet everything to these people is about race. You can't just talk about content or policy. It has some roads. These roads were built because they're racist. They were dividing the city by race by putting this road in. It's just absolute ridiculousness. They've built a culture of what they hope to be perpetual enslavement to their party. That's what they did. You'll constantly be dependent upon them to get you to, for more stuff, to get a government check. Reparations are all about that. You don't think they are? Look at the people at the top of the party. Who's in charge? A white lady and a white man. Nancy Pelosi, Joe Biden, Chuck Schumer. Look at all the diversity there. Yes, Barack Obama was in office for 8 years. The country got more divided over that. Somehow a country who elected him twice, overwhelmingly the first time, is now all of a sudden overwhelmingly racist. And everything's racial. And including what is in my cup. It's actually mixed. It's a mix. Much like our country is a melting pot. It's the, there's some ice in there. It's a big clear insulated cup, which is kind of good. It's a, what is it called? Is this an igloo? What is this thing called? It's a bubba. It's a bubba cup. Of course it is, because I'm a bubba. So it's got a little sippy thing on the top. I can close it so I don't spill it too much. It doesn't spill too much if I tip it over, unless the lid pops off, which it does. If you drop this thing on the ground, I guarantee this lid's going to pop off. It has done that to me a couple times. It used to have this little tab on the side of it where you could, it made it easier to take the cap off. One time in my truck, as I was setting the thing back down in the drink holder, which is up underneath. It's hard to get to the drink holder. It's real convenient. I was putting it down there, and as I was putting it down there, that little thing on the side got caught on something. I can't remember what it was. It might be my shifter or whatever it was. Flipped it out of my hand, and of course, at the same time, took the top off the thing, and the thing was about full. I was just pulling out of the driveway. Sweet tea went everywhere. It was glorious there for about half a second. I was living in a land of sweet tea everywhere. And then all of a sudden it landed on everything. And of course, it's just, you know, that became just everything sticky now. And it was, you know, with all the dog hair and stuff that I've got from my dogs, you know where that's going. All of a sudden I had a furry interior on my truck. It wasn't like a nice plush fur. It was sticky fur stuff that was goopy and globby. And, well, you know, I'll be giving free rides in my truck later if anybody wants to go experience this. It's been cleaned up since then, but then, of course, there have been many spills since then too. By the way, that little tab on the side of my on the side of that lid somehow it's missing. I'm not sure what happened to it. It's not there anymore. I don't think I took it off, but somehow it broke off of there. Thankfully, actually, it makes it harder to open the cap, but it is a better. Well, I'll get into this stuff. Yes, I have sweet tea that I made especially for the 4th of July, homemade sweet tea, a whole gallon of it to get me through the weekend. And I also have a little bit of V8 Fusion in there for my fruits and vegetables. That's my story. I'm sticking with it. I had this, I had another apple thing, filled cream thing, filled thing this morning with a glass of milk instead of my normal Wheaties. And I always feel bad about that because so I've got a couple of eggs. Then I'm going to eat a couple of hard-boiled eggs here in a little bit. I'm going to get done with the show. That way I can get some protein, some real food. Instead of just being on a sugar high. Yesterday, if you were listening to the show yesterday, I was drinking chai after eating that thing. And the combination of all the sugar and the caffeine from the chai probably was a little much. You probably had, you know, usually when I listen to podcasts or I listen to YouTube videos, I put them on 1.25 speed, sometimes 1.5. So I can listen to more stuff quicker, you know, get through the material. And yesterday, those of you listening probably had to turn it down to 0.75 just to hear what I was saying. I think I was talking faster than, I'm a bit of a fast talker anyway. I deliberately, like right now, I am deliberately trying to speak slower. If my mouth would move faster, as I get older, I notice that I don't have quite as much articulation when I start. I used to talk really fast sometimes. And I wouldn't shut up. I would just keep talking, much like I do on this show. This is why I don't have commercials, and this is why I don't have guests on my show, because I wouldn't give them a word. I wouldn't allow them to talk. In fact, far as you know, I might have guests here, but I just don't let them talk. I just talk while they're sitting there waiting for their turn to talk, and I never give them a turn. Because it's my turn. It's my show. That's kind of a joke. The reason I don't have people on my show is because nobody wants to be on my show. Sean Hannity is a good example of that, by the way. I just saw this. I don't listen to very many of his clips. In fact, usually when Tucker is over and it's time for Sean Hannity to come on, is it just me, or does he remind you anybody? Does anybody else that he reminds? Remember Abbott and Costello? You know Costello. Is there any resemblance there? I just keep expecting Sean to go, "Hey, Abbott." You know, I don't know. I keep expecting that. Never does. But if he did, everybody would know. I assume Abbott's probably operating the camera maybe or something. I don't know. They just changed their show. That's some good tea right there. It's got that peach mango flavor behind it. Just enough. So Sean has this guest on. I happened to listen to something he was doing. He had this guest on, and he calls us. So the guy starts, he said, I think, well, it was actually somebody that I always listened to. That's why I was listening to Sean's take on this. I think it was, he brought somebody on that was, I don't think it was Robert Gouveia. It might have been, I don't think it was, Wasn't Matt Walsh? It might have been Matt Walsh. It was somebody. Anyway, somebody with a YouTube channel or podcast that I listen to. That's the whole point of this show, by the way. If you're new to this show, this is, first of all, I'm not a doctor or a lawyer. I'm not a financial counselor or a life coach. I'm not a virologist or an immunologist. I'm not a gist. I'm not any of those things. I'm just a guy with a microphone with a bunch of opinions. And say, what you do with those opinions is your business. Now, however, here's the deal. I don't even know where I was going with all this stuff now. I've lost my train of thought. I'm also not a memory expert. There's a lot of distractions in this, in my house. I'm at the home studio here right now. And whenever I hear noises, it always bothers me. Right now, there's something kicking in. I think this, either the water pump or something. Yeah, it must have been the water pump because it just kicked off. But it has this kind of a humming sound that it makes in the down here in the basement where I'm, and it distracts me. I'm very easily distracted. The point is that I had a point, and I don't know what it was. What I do is I curate. I spend hours and hours of time scouring the interwebs, the ethosphere, for information that you need to know that you don't have, you can't waste your time on. So I waste my time so that you don't have to. What's that worth to you? Go ahead and send me a check. If that's worth anything to you at all, which I'm sure it is. I am your curator, if you will, of the entire internet information that you need to know, news, and what I think about it. Most importantly, what I think about all that news, which is very interesting perspective, paradigm, whatever you want to talk about. I just know however you want to say it. It was something I was getting into on the last show. I think I was talking mostly about the whole January 6th thing. Now, interestingly enough, Tucker Carlson had a really good show yesterday. One of his segments that I listened to was talking about the list of people that this particular administration has gone after and their reasons for them going after them and what they've been arrested for, what the FBI raids have done. There is a, if you don't, now you have to understand it, how this is all coming about. Because they're calling January 6th an insurrection, anybody who had anything to do with anybody close to Trump or anybody who had anything to do with calling for a re-election or that the election was rigged or unfair or illegal, anybody who has anything to do with that, who has any position that's notable, any position of influence at all, I mean, some people you wouldn't even know the names. Any kind of journalist, I mean, they could have come after me. Nobody would have known. Nobody would have thought anything about it. You know, maybe 10 people would have figured it out. They're going after them. They're arresting them. They're taking their cell phones. Now, think about how much information is available on your cell. They're forcing them. I don't know how you force somebody to unlock your cell phone. You want my cell phone? There it is. You figure it out. Throw me in the pokey until you figure it out. There's nothing there for you to see. There's nothing incriminating on my phone unless they put it there. So you have to understand, you unlock your phone and hand it over to the authorities. You better trust those authorities. And frankly, if they're arresting me for what's on my phone or arresting me for any reason that has anything to do with January 6th or any of my opinions, I'm calling the county sheriff. In our county, if the county sheriff comes up and determines your rights are being violated by a federal agency, they will boot them out of the county. They will escort them out. That's the county I live in. That's the kind of sheriff we elect here. This has happened in this county, believe it or not. They were coming down on some Amish people. They raided an Amish farm for selling milk. Yeah. They're protecting all of us. Sheriff showed up. They got escorted off the property and escorted right out of the county, right across the county line. The Amish family is still selling milk. And nobody's dead. Nobody's sick. Amazing. Oh, but some big conglomerate food place can accidentally have salmonella in their products and cause a bunch of people to go to the hospital. You don't see the FBI raiding their place. Anyway. So, the whole January 6th has given them license. They think, in their heads, have given them license to raid people's homes at gunpoint. Nonviolent offenders, just people who have disagreed with them, who disagree with the current administration, or who disagree with the election. Political opponents is what we're talking about here. They are arresting them. Tucker last night went through an entire list of people, and I had no idea how long this list was. And this is just, I'm sure it's just the tip of the iceberg. I'm sure there's a lot of other people that have been arrested who are not notable in terms of their popularity or their notability, people knowing them. No less important than anybody else. We probably haven't even heard the half of the number of people that have been charged with crimes. What they do and what they've done is they've come in. Now you have to understand. Most recently, there's another guy that I think was a lawyer or something. I don't know what he was. They showed up and they wanted to take his cell phone away from him. They weren't going to show him the warrant. In fact, they took the cell phone away from him before they showed him the warrant. And he's saying, "I want to see the warrant. I want to see the warrant. I want to see the warrant." And he's got his hands up. They have him at gunpoint. They're arresting him, and they take his cell phone off of his person. They took his property as if it was a deadly weapon. We have to secure the area. Some of these people have lost their cell phones, haven't gotten them back, and haven't been charged with a crime. Now, understand, if you unlock your... They made this guy unlock his cell phone. They claim they forced him to do that. You know what I would do? I would enter the code about 10 times wrong. Oh, it's locked now. Nobody's going to get it open. Sorry. Oh, gee, I made a mistake. Sorry, I'm a bumbling old man. Sorry, I didn't know what I was doing. Oops. Oopsie whoopsie. Sorry about that. I guess you'll have to get a court order to go into all my records and all my emails and back. And here's the problem. You hand somebody an unlocked phone. I guarantee you. You hand me your phone to take a picture of you. You're going to get a picture of me making a face. That's just what I do with everybody. Here, Kevin can take this picture. Here, take a picture of us doing the. Okay, I'll stand back here and see. I'll figure this thing out. I'm like looking at it, flipping the camera around to the front side. Take a few shots of myself, making a weird face, and then I'll take a couple pictures of them, and then go back and look at the pictures and like, who's that guy? There's a little momentum, momento, I guess it is, not a momentum, a little momento. Of the event, you know, the guy behind the camera. That's just one of those funny things I do. I just do it to family. If you see me on a trail somewhere, you're out hiking and you want to get a picture of you with the mountains behind you or whatever, I'm not going to do that to you. Probably. I don't know. It kind of depends on what mood I'm in. But it all depends on the situation, I guess. Now, having said that, I don't even know where I was going with all that. So the guy takes his cell phone and the police officer, and there's this officer standing in front of him. Now, I don't know if it's just coincidence or if this was planned. An officer, an FBI agent, is standing in front of this guy with his hands up. And the officer in front of him is a black man, and he's just standing there staring at him. And the other officer who's taking all the stuff off of him is a white guy. Now, I don't know. I don't know. I'm just saying. I don't know if this was, of course, the cameras are all rolling at this point. Because they, you know, everybody, they want to perp walk everybody. They're screaming. We'll get into this whole indictment thing in a minute. However, I need to start taking notes. There's so much stuff that happens. I bet I probably missed 90% of the information that I really want to cover. And it will probably take me too long to talk about it anyway, because I fill in the blanks with so many rabbit holes, just like I'm doing right now. So this guy takes his phone away. Now if he unlocks it, he can do anything he wants to. He can plant evidence on that thing. He could put pictures on there. He could put whatever he wants on there. He could type up emails. He could download a file to do. He could put an app on there. Who knows what he's going to do? Once it's unlocked, they're going to have to keep it unlocked, obviously. Until they can download everything or back, whatever they're going to do. I don't know what they're going to do, but they want to get all the text messages. What they're going to do, and then they're going to edit them. this is the thing that they've done before. They've done this before. They edit text messages, piece things together to make it sound say what they want it to say. Because the end justifies the means. There's no end to what these people will do. This is never. And here's the whole point of this whole thing, and this gets back to another point. The person who's allowing this to happen, the person who is a puppet of the left, a weapon, if you will, that they are using. They found a man with a chip on his shoulder. He has a grievance. He has a vendetta. To go after the people who kept him from being on the Supreme Court, and that person is Merrick Garland. I guarantee you, there's either paperwork that he has signed for every single one of these arrests, or he knew completely of what was happening with these arrests. I guarantee you he's involved from the top down, sanctioning, ordering, or approving every single one of these political arrests. Someone made a point the other day. This is an original thought of mine. You know, they called Trump a fascist. He was a fascist. He was going to crack down. He was trying to steal democracy and take over. He was a tyrant. He was a bully. All these things. He was a dictator. Wanted to rule with an iron fist. Had no respect for the law. He's a lawbreaker. He was a colluder. Colluding with Russia. He was a puppet. Now, when they start throwing things like that around, you know, it's been said, and this is 99% true. I think it's an auditing firm actually came up with that number. I don't know. I'm just kidding. Okay. 87 point, I've said this many times, but 87.3% of all statistics are made up on the spot. I have a really bad feeling about this whole thing because of the way Merrick Garland, who I'm telling you, is signing off to all this stuff. They called Trump a fascist. They called his DOJ an extension of his, you know, he was in charge. Bill Barr was nothing but a puppet for him. Bill Barr didn't like Donald Trump. The deep state around Trump at the time was the one who suggested Bill Barr step in. The acting attorney general for a while was, what was the guy's name? I think he should have just been the attorney general, personally. The guy was not establishment. He stepped in for like a month or something, or a month and a half before Barr stepped in. And that was just a big mistake, in my opinion. Bill Barr was a Bush family buddy. So So here we are now. We have Joe Biden, who, folks, when I say that, you have to keep in mind, I'm saying this kind of in proxy. When I say that Joe Biden is in control of anything, he's not in control of anything. Okay, so when Joe Biden says this or that in his speeches, he's not saying that. Joe Biden's he's reading a teleprompter. Somebody else. These are all somebody else's words. I can guarantee you, with almost as much, probably even more certainty, that when Joe Biden walks into a meeting. Well, we're having a meeting with the staff today, a staff meeting today. All the top advisors are meeting today with the president. I'm sure he has this meeting every day. Joe Biden steps into a meeting. There's not one single meeting during the day on a regular basis anywhere on the planet that Joe Biden walks into the room and is large and in charge of anything. He walks in and the agenda's already set, and he just sits there and mumbles and jumbles and whatever, you just tell me what to do and say, and that's what I'll do. People will yell at me if I say the wrong thing. Am I in the right chair? Am I in the right seat here? The one with the little thing where I don't have to, in case my diaper overruns. This is the kind of stuff where he just walks into the room, he's not in charge of anything. He doesn't make any decisions. And if it's made to look like a decision, it's where they give him an option. Do you want to do A or B? Well, they're both the same. Right, that way you can't screw it up. Do you want to A, give in to China, or B, let China do what they want? Oh, I kind of like the first one. Okay, we'll give in to China then. Well, no, let's do the second one. Let's do the second one. Okay, we'll just let China do what they want. Which, there's no difference there. But he thinks there is. See, he thinks he's making these decisions, but he's not. And he doesn't have an agenda. Okay, somebody else is telling him what the agenda is. They put it on a note card. Salute the Marine. Take your seat. Say something nice to so-and-so. Get up out of your chair and walk out of the room. Don't take any questions. This is the kind of thing we're dealing with, folks. Now, having said that, when I say this, I'm not saying that Joe Biden is behind all of this. He's allowing it to happen, obviously, but he doesn't understand what's going on around him half the time. Doesn't know where he is. What's happening next? Or maybe he's just a good actor and he's playing stupid. I don't know. That could be. It's possible. I don't think anybody can play it that good. He deserves a Tony, an Emmy, an Oscar, whatever it is they give out to people. I don't. So Trump was the tyrant. Did Trump ever mention abolishing the filibuster? Did Trump ever mention putting more people on the Supreme Court? Did Trump ever mention going after political opponents and arresting them other than Hillary Clinton, who never was, by the way? The DOJ never went after her. Congress did. They had hearings. She basically ignored them. She knew that nothing was going to happen. She was defiant and very belligerent, in my opinion, disrespectful to the Congress, people asking her questions. Sitting there looking down at her notes, taking a drink, looking around, wouldn't give eye contact, was messing around. She knew exactly what she was doing. But Trump's the tyrant. Trump is the dictator. Trump is the one who, you know, went after people who lost the election because they claimed he didn't win. He arrested all those people who were claiming to be that he was a Russian spy, that Russia colluded. He sigged the DOJ on them all. He raided all, took all their cell phones. You know, there's a lot of people who asked for pardons after this was all went down, right at the very end. They could see the handwriting on the wall. Folks, you know, between January 6th and January 20th, people were asking for pardons. One guy asked for pardons on behalf of some military individuals, and he himself was accused of asking for a pardon for himself. He wasn't asking for a pardon for himself. He requested pardons for someone else that lived in the state he represented. One of the problems with offering a pardon, it's twofold. One is, well, you didn't commit a crime. I can't offer you a pardon for something you didn't do. Secondly, it does make it look like you committed a crime if you want a pardon. So you can't pardon someone for something they didn't do or for something that's not a crime. And you can't pardon somebody who's not been convicted of a crime. Or is in the process of going through a trial, been arrested and been detained. You can't give that person a pardon. What are you pardoning them from? However, just the mere request but here's what was happening. These congressmen, some of these people, these political individuals involved in the political scene that worked in the White House at the time, they saw the handwriting on the wall. They knew what was coming. They knew this January 6th commission thing was going to happen. They didn't know it was going to be this hokey-dokey, completely illegal and not even done by the rules. They didn't know that, but you can expect that. Now, I've heard a lot of pundits. That's why they're asking for pardon. They wanted to behave. We want immunity here. We need to have some kind of protection from these people because they're going to come after us simply because we're here, just because we exist, not because we did anything wrong. And they did. They are. That is happening. It's exactly what's happening. They knew what was going to happen. Now, I talked to a fair few people. I was traveling with a guy this last week. See, it was 2 weeks ago. I think it was 2 weeks ago. And typically at work, there's this avoidance typically of political stuff until it starts opening up. You kind of open the can of worms, and then you kind of peek under the, you know, see what's ticking under the noggin there. You know, it's under the ball cap, and see what's going on with the person, whether or not they're, you know, left or right. Because there's some really radical leftists that I wouldn't call them radical leftists, but they're very ridiculously left in their opinions. And I just shut up. Once I'm around, once I find out, we don't talk about politics. Nothing at all. Sometimes people will start to mention something or say something. And when I'm working with the people I work with, I'm typically kind of like their supervisor. I'm kind of in a place of authority with them. Not, I can't fire them, but I could probably get them fired. And so there's this kind of thing where I'm kind of in this position of leadership, basically is what I'm saying. And because of that, I try to be very careful about instigating anything or trying to have any undue influence with regard to controlling a conversation or bullying my opinions on people. People will open up and be willing to converse, usually one-on-one, if you're willing to hear their side of whatever they're talking about. But however, the leftists, some Democrats I can do that with. Some leftists, it's impossible. I don't even try. We're not going there. Because there is no logic or reason in their debate. It's all about feelings and talking points and platitudes. Believe me, I've tried this many times. And that's where it goes. The facts are usually, that the facts that they do quote are wrong. They get it terribly wrong. Because all I've listened to is MSNBC and CNN. They get this narrative, and they can't see anything objectively in that respect. Very rarely is there an opportunity for a conversation that can get them to come to a point of view that they realize, you know, that changes anything on there in there. And this is the way it is on social media, by the way. If I rarely get on social media anymore to make any kind of comments or in my own personal social media stuff. Reason being is one, I don't know that it's ever changed anybody's mind. I don't know that anybody's, oh yeah, well, that's, I'm going to change my mind about that. All it becomes is this discourse where people hide behind their computers and they say things that they wouldn't otherwise say in person. If you were one-on-one with them, they wouldn't be that rude. They wouldn't be that ridiculous. But it makes it very easy for them to do when you're not sitting down in front of them. I'll make a comment on a YouTube video occasionally, and somebody will respond back with, well, yeah, then you do this and you do that. All right away, they put me in a can, they put me in this pigeonhole, and they say, this is the way I am, this is what I am, this is what I'm afraid of, this is all this, this is why I don't like this or that or this. And they'll come up with, I typically don't even respond to those people. I'm not going to stoop down and start slinging it out with some ridiculous argument. Because you know what? It's not going to change their opinion. They got their opinion. And now if they want to sit down and have, in fact, this happened. There was a local college here close by. Actually had two individuals from the college. They were disagreeing about something. I can't remember. This was before Trump. This is long before Trump. This is back when Obama was elected. I think Obama was in office at that time. It might have even been before that. It's been since 2008. And I made a comment on the video that these guys were on Tucker. And they had this huge disagreement with each other. And they were very careful about, you know, trying to respect each other because this college is real big on that. I mean, in a very apologetic leftist kind of way. You can be respectful and disagree with somebody and not be disrespectful and still disagree with them. You don't have to apologize for yourself before you start to disagree with them. You just disagree. Apologize for you. This is kind of ridiculous. Both of them were kind of fawning over all over themselves, trying to be the most whatever. So these two were going at it. Well, I made a comment about, you know, I live close by this kind of, I know this college very well, and so this is the kind of stuff that, you know, they just kind of spew this stuff out because they hear it from their professors. They don't know anything. They haven't been out and experienced life at all. These kids are 20 years old, been in school all their lives. And they make these comments like as if they know all about the philosophy of life, you know, everything about what life is all about. Because, you know, they're in college. They heard it from this professor who made a perfect sense. They're going on about this thing. So I said something about, you know, they spew this kind of stuff out. They're just regurgitating what they've heard from the professors. They can't, you know, they're just kids. Well, this one kid took great offense to that because I said something about spewing out of their mouth. They spew this stuff out of their mouth. He didn't like the word spew because, you know, he's a snowflake. So he said he came back with this whole thing and was all mad about it. And was talking about, well, I disagree with blah, 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 blah. And I said, well, I'll tell you what. I said, if you would like to, I said, I live about 2 miles from you, from the college there. I'd be happy to stop by. There's a little coffee shop over there. I'd be happy to stop by, buy you a cup of coffee, and let's just have a chat. Not one more word. No more responses. After vilifying me, talking about how terrible I was and all this, he didn't want to have a one-on-one conversation with me. Nothing. Bueller. And of course, then all you heard was, that's all there was. So that's all you're going to get from my soundtracks today. I usually have a lot of sound. I got a lot of stuff on this board here, but sounds a little cheesy to use it. So this is the kind of stuff that's going on now. Here's where we are with these. Occasionally I get these people who want to talk, and they'll start opening up to me, and I find out that they're actually conservative, and they're actually kind of mad at the Republicans as well. So they're really conservative, like they're true, like they don't like the establishment. Well, that just opens up the floodgates for me to start sharing about what I think about all this crap, and usually I look over and they're, you know, they got their ears back, kind of like my cat when he hears a weird noise. I'm like, whoa, ew, this guy needs his medication. I don't flip out too much. I like to have a discussion and just, and there's going to be some discourse, but boy, I don't hold anything back in terms of what I know about what's going on. And it's not so much me sharing my opinion. It's just, I just make them aware of, look at all the stuff that's happening here, which is something that Tucker Carlson did last night that I was not aware of. I was not aware of so many, he named off a lot of people that they're kind of fringe individuals in terms of people surrounding what's going on with the Capitol and what's going on with the Trump administration, people who are involved with Trump administration. Talking about all those people and some of the lawyers and people that were just political pundits who are making comments about things. Being arrested for their opinions, for statements that they made, free speech issues, saying things they're getting arrested for. Well, because you're part of the insurrection. That's what it all boils down to. And here's where I disagree with many people, many pundits right now are saying, there's nothing for them to indict him on. There's nothing there for him. This is all hearsay. This is all whatever, all these witnesses. The left is still pushing this as, this is credible evidence. They need to indict. Why are they haven't started? Why is the president not already indicted?
Well, the DOJ is listening to this. Very well, the DOJ is listening to this.
Merrick Garland is probably waiting for a trigger word when they say some specific statement. He'll know it's time for him to act and start moving in because we need to perp walk this president. That is their goal, folks. And let me tell you, they don't care. This is where all the lawyers that say, well, there's nothing for them to indict him on. They can't indict. There's no indictment coming down. They won't be able to indict this president. There shouldn't be. This is all a sham trial, blah, 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 blah. That's the whole point, folks. This trial shouldn't have even existed because it broke the rules to even be established. And look at the time it's getting. Look at the upfront every news channel on the planet, except for a couple. And even some of their responses, Brett Baer, have been ridiculous. Giving this thing any credibility whatsoever should be a crime, first of all. Secondly, the fact that they're behind it, cheerleading it, tells you something about it. So you think for a moment they're not going to hesitate to try to hang Donald Trump? That this DOJ is somehow going to do the right thing and say, well, no, we can't. Technically, these things aren't crime. No, they think this guy's a criminal just because he's Donald Trump. Sorry, we have to arrest you because your name is Donald Trump. And you're a monster because you're Donald Trump. And you have, you're Donald Trump. That's all there is to it. You threw a bottle of ketchup against the wall and it made a mess. And now we have to arrest you. We're going to need your cell phone and all your records. You have all my records. It's in the presidential library. Well, we need it from you now. What we really need is your head on a spike. That's what we really need. We need that. If you just hand that over, that'd be great. We're seeing a travesty of justice here. This is nothing but a phony display of justice. Or I should say a display of phony justice. That would probably be more my English teacher was. Or I heard her voice in the back of my head there for a second. That's good tea. I have no doubt. Their end game, their end goal here is to indict anybody they can. Now, they're going after Mark Meadows, one of the closest people to the president during this whole thing, somebody who actually had direct contact with the president. And they're going to try to nail him with something, even if it's phone. And this their MO lately, this is the way they've been doing this lately. They charge you with some ridiculous crime that they have no evidence for. No probable cause, no evidence. Their point is they want to try to charge you with something that will make you squirm so badly and try to fight, spend so much money to try to fight against, that you give in to something and you take the lesser. This is what Simone Gold had to do. A doctor. Never been a violent criminal, never been an offender, never been arrested. I don't even think she had a speeding ticket. They raided her house at gunpoint. Charged her with obstruction of justice. Pretty serious crime. They ended up basically taking a plea bargain. If she committed to being guilty, I think it was trespassing. A trespassing charge. And failure to, was it trespassing and failure to leave or vacate or whatever it was. I don't know what it was. A couple things. 2 months in prison. When was the last time you heard somebody going to prison for trespassing? First time offender. And they're letting people off the hook for, you know the guys who brought all that fentanyl in? Enough to kill like 200 million people? They brought fentanyl. They got caught bringing this fentanyl in. They were put in prison. Put in jail. Ready for their trial. Guess what happens? They're released. They got released by a court order. Sheriff said, this is a travesty, but I can't do anything. He said, I'm afraid these people are going to, they're dangerous to society, and here we are letting them out of jail because of a court order. Gee, where did that come from? What does that judge know that we don't know? Or I should say, who's that judge connected to that we don't know? This is the kind of stuff that's happening all the time now. And I think we're only hearing about a tip of the iceberg stuff. In fact, on the COVID watch, this, for those of you who are still listening, Roman Balmakov, that's who it was. It was Roman. Roman was on Hannity the other night. Hannity asks him a question. Nothing ticks me off more than someone asking me a question. And as I'm starting to respond to it, they start talking over me or trying to answer the question themselves. That is one of the most rude things, in my opinion, that you can do to a person. I'm going to ask you a question, and as you start to answer the question, I'm going to talk over the top of you. Because really, I didn't want to hear about your answer to that question. I want to just give my opinion about what I think about that question. That's how disrespectful that is. And in my opinion, when I see an interviewer do that, and Sean Hannity does that all the time. So Sean, if you're listening, I'm sure you've got the time to listen to my podcast. Please, when you ask someone a question, stop. Just zip it. Zip it. Zip, zip. Because if you don't, you look disrespectful and rude. That's how it comes across. And you do it continuously. You do it constantly. Consistently. He did it to Roman. I like Roman. I wouldn't, if he started talking, I would shut up. This guy is brilliant, knowledgeable, articulate, understands what's going on with the world. I think he's worth listening to, Sean. So just, it's one of those things where I would just be quiet. I might ask him a question, and then you get the floor, long as you want it. Just answer it as thoroughly as you'd like. I'm all ears. I want to hear this whole thing. He asks him a question, Roman starts talking, and then Sean starts talking over the top of him. And of course, there's always this delay. So there's a couple seconds delay. So Sean says something. You have to wait for, Roman has to wait till he hears it before he can respond to it. So there's this moment where he's kind of sitting there hesitating. And most people have gotten used to this. You kind of look kind of stupid because you're just kind of sitting there nodding your head going, because you're just hearing it. And by the time he responds back and they get his response, is also delayed. So there's kind of this double delay going on there. And, well, that's all further I'll go with that. But anyway, he finally gets to answer the question and starts talking. And of course, he's a pretty quick talker. And he gets his point and he gets his word. And he was on his toes. He could get the job done. And, but then it was just all about, then Sean basically went into his rant about, you know, what he thinks about the whole thing anyway. So it's like, well, why don't you just interview yourself, Sean? Just bring on somebody who agrees with you, just nods their head and says, yeah. And then you can kind of say what you want to say. That's now I'm kind of hitting on Sean. Maybe a little bit more than I should. I like the boldness that Sean has, but at the same time, I just think he's a little bit too close to some of the people in the establishment. He has Lindsey Graham on his show all the time, and I guess that, you know, that's okay. I would bring him on my show, but I have some serious questions to ask him. It would be more about Lindsey Graham. Why did you do this? Why did you do that? Why do you think this? Why do you say that? And yet you do this. Those kinds of things. But more about that, yeah. Rather than talking about what Lindsey thinks about the current situation, because you don't know what he really think. He's just going to say whatever the platitude is for the moment. Political football. I don't care about that stuff. So anyway, I don't know where I was going with all that, but one of the things that Roman had on the other day about the COVID thing. Let's get back to that. Believe it or not, I found my way back to that subject. I can't believe it. This tea with V8 in it, it's actually doing its thing. It's having a good effect on my brain. So I had this. He had this report on, and it was, if you have a chance to go listen to this, it's called Facts Matter, is his YouTube channel. He had this little report on about how, I think it was last night, actually. It might have been the night before. I think it was last night. Because I was out working until sundown, and the sun doesn't go down now until 10 o'clock at night, so I was outside working, listening to this thing. And he talks about these insurance companies reporting the death rates going up exponentially among people who from 18 to 59, I think it was 18 to 59, might have been to 60. It's a group of that has, we've never, this is unprecedented increase in deaths. Now, this has all been, and we're talking about non-COVID related deaths, in fact. These are all since a certain inoculation has been put on the scene. These are numbers by actuaries from insurance companies, and it's not just one insurance company. Major, there was at least three or four major insurance companies, life insurance companies, who have calculated these, made the same calculations that they're seeing, and the death toll rise is huge. We're talking about upwards of 40% increase over the norm. Now, I don't know that he gets in. I didn't have a chance to really listen to I should have gone back and listened to it again. I can't remember what the reasons what they were getting into the reasons for some of these deaths. Most of them had to do with heart problems. Someone I know, a couple people I know actually now. One person was worked at the place where I work, my other side gig. 41 years old. Now keep in mind, this person is somebody who has to have a medical every 6 months to keep her job. They check these people's hearts. It's a big part of it. I have to get an EKG every year. They do blood work. 41 years old. Heart attack. Gone. Someone else I know who was a former in-law. Almost my age. A little bit younger than me, actually. Yeah, I guess he was about my age. Same age as me. Farmer. Found him one morning. Just dropped over. Another individual, this happened about a year ago. I guess less than a year, about 6 months ago. It was in the fall of last year. A little more than 6 months. Again. Was home. My understanding was he was laying on the sofa. That's where they found him. Very, very, very strange that this kind of stuff is happening. Now, I read a report. It's kind of a weird report. I'm not exactly sure how this guy puts all this stuff together. He was probably because I'm just not smart enough, or maybe it's because it's hokey. I don't know. Either way, this guy was saying that 700 million people are going to die because of the by the year 2028. Between the ages of 18 and now, of course, now they're giving them 6 months old. At 6 months old, they want to give everybody this shot. Now, I don't know. And the question is why? What's the purpose of that now? This thing is in the endemic stage. It has become a bad cold, which can kill you. A bad cold can kill you, folks. They're going to call it COVID. Any kind of cold you get now is COVID. But a bad cold can kill a person who's weak in a weakened state. Now, Joe is talking about there's going to be another pandemic. We need to start spending money now for the next pandemic. There's going to be another pandemic, he says. Okay. Sometime around October, is that when it's going to happen? So we can do all the mail-in balloting. Have to have some kind of lockdown. There's something afoot. I keep saying this. I'll keep saying it. Be really surprised. Now, in the 2022 election, the midterms here, I don't know what they're going to do. I know that they're going to contest the elections. All of a sudden, now this whole January 6th thing is an attempt, along with the Supreme Court, along with the everything else that they're trying to do, the filibuster, all this kind of stuff that they're trying to do. They're going to try to change things enough that they can somehow win this election. They're doubling down, tripling down, all this stuff, all the January 6th thing, all the insurrection, anybody. They're trying to make it sound like we got to protect the elections. Well, you got to protect the way you do elections. No voter ID, mail-in ballots, ballot dumpsters where you can just dump your ballots in. Like I only have one ballot. No, we have. You should have 10 or 15 ballots. You should be able to run around and put all those ballots all over the place. We'll pay you for it. Here's some ballots. Put these ballots in over there. There's no end to this. These people have a taste of grasping power right now, and that is what they're all about. Power and control, being at the top. That's where they're at. So with that great note, happy 4th of July. Happy Independence Day, folks. Let's celebrate it while we have it. How about that? Because it's, folks, I'm telling you, we're facing some serious times. It's no reason to not have joy. I'm saying be prepared. If you are prepared, you'll be at peace. If you're not prepared, if you're not ready for this, if you don't heed the warnings, to pay attention, look at what's going on and kind of help educate those around you in terms of what's going on. Not in a wacky, loony kind of way. Just help them understand it. Educate people on what individual rights are all about, because that's what Independence Day is all about. You are the one who is independent. Not a dependent. Independent. God bless everybody. Have a great week.